You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A presidential candidate who talks of banning Muslim immigrants, controversy about receiving Syrian refugees, the fallout after 9/11. You don't have to look too far to find suspicion and misunderstanding aimed at Arab Americans, which is why the Arab American National Museum knows it has a very important job to do. The Dearborn Museum opened in 2005, and it's been so successful in sharing the story of Arab Americans that it's been chosen to be an affiliate of the Smithsonian. And it's a rare museum that can make that claim. Devin Ackman is executive director of the Arab American National Museum. Good to have you here, Devin.
Thanks for having me on.
I want to talk about that honor from the Smithsonian. I saw your face light up as I mentioned it. What did that mean to you as part of the museum to have that honor of being named an affiliate of the Smithsonian?
Well, it was incredibly important. We got that designation within the first 2 years of being in operation. So to take a step back, we're the first and only museum of its kind in the nation, 22,000 plus museums, and the Arab American National Museum is the only one telling the Arab American story. So not having a similar institution to compare ourselves to and striving to build support from Arab Americans across the nation, getting a designation like that so early on essentially helped to legitimize the museum in the eyes of the public, in the eyes of Arab Americans across this nation. So that was really the first major designation bestowed upon our institution. And since that time, over the last now 11 years that we've been in operation, it's been incredibly fruitful. We have continued partnerships ongoing with the Smithsonian, whether they're public programs, collection initiatives, curatorial initiatives. So it's truly a way in which our museum, the Smithsonian, can collaborate and share resources.
When you think about the fact that, as you say, it's been 11 years since the doors first opened, how do you personally measure and rate the success of the museum?
Well, that can be measured in many ways. For us, the first 5 years, so to speak, were really about building the capacity and infrastructure of an institution, a new museum. Since that time, it's really about expanding our footprint across the country and truly living up to the national designation that's in our title. So that's about taking exhibitions on the road, galvanizing our community around the country to support the institution, new collaborations, new initiatives. And I think we've managed to do a fairly good job of doing that in the first 11 years. And we've really set our sights high for the next 10 years. We just unveiled a new strategic plan in the last couple of years, and it's really about increasing our national imprint.
What about attendance, particularly attendance from people who are not Arab, which I suspect when somebody comes in and you realize that, that's an aha moment.
Yeah, well, that's a really important thing to impress upon. So our on-site attendance is about 55,000 people annually. We're considered a mid-sized museum, and of that, about half of our audience is school children. And in terms of ethnicity, we do get a lot of Arab Americans, as you might imagine, but even more so, we have a lot of folks who are non-Arab. And that's incredibly important in terms of building community, greater understanding. Now, the vast majority of our attendance is actually off-site. Most people don't realize that.
You call yourself a museum without walls.
Yes, we do. We have so many initiatives really taking place across the region and across the nation. So we just got done presenting the annual Concert of Colors in Detroit in collaboration with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, the DIA, the Charles Wright Museum. And there was only one small program at our museum that happened all in Midtown Detroit. We have the pleasure of partnering with the Michigan Theater here in Ann Arbor on Cinetopia. And then nationally, we have exhibitions that are really traveling to institutions from East Coast to West Coast. We have an exhibit going to Ellis Island Immigration Museum later this year. So approximately 150 to 250,000 people attend our stuff annually offsite. So as you can see, the bulk of our visitors or our patrons are actually outside of the museum.
What about in Southeast Michigan, really on the ground level? How have you seen the museum affect relations between Arabs and non-Arabs, especially in Southeast Michigan?
Well, what's really wonderful is we're part of this larger nonprofit called Access, which has now been in existence for 45 years. And through Access's work, there have been so many organic collaborations with non-Arab American communities over the years. And the Arab American National Museum is essentially an extension of that. So we have such a deep history in this region, working with other communities and even having a presence. I mean, so many people think of Arab Americans as really being a more recent group in this nation. But We've been here for well over 100 years. In fact, my family came to the U.S. over 100 years ago. So we've had a presence in the region. And like so many others, we came here originally for the auto industry, and our community has grown and grown and grown. So I think there is a level of familiarity with people in Southeast Michigan with our community. And that's just allowed us to have a lot of organic relationships and a lot of, you know, just comfort in the presence of our community.
I know you're telling the story of Arab Americans, and how challenging is it to have one museum that can do justice to the 22 countries of the Arab world, not all of whom are friendly with each other?
Well, that's a really important point, because we are not a monolithic group. We are incredibly diverse. We come from 22 different countries. Our presence in America has spanned a great deal of time, so our experience in this nation is different. We're religiously diverse. I mean, there's so much diversity within a community. So we are very cognizant of how we approach our work. When it comes to exhibitions, we have used a very interesting interpretive tool. What we try to do is tell individual vignettes that make up the larger Arab American story. And in doing so, what you're really getting is a mosaic of our culture. And you're also having the opportunity for individuals to connect on a one-to-one basis with an individual story. So you begin to say, well, that story is very similar to mine. Well, of course, this is also an American story. And through that process, we get to really make connections. And of course, we do numerous public programs over the course of the year. And through those, we can really feature different aspects of our community and bring that to light.
I guess kind of taking that idea of, hey, we went through that as well in our family. Let's talk about why the work you do is so important right now in this climate.
Well, a lot of people often ask, you know, how this compares with the experience after 9/11. And that was a very challenging time for our community. But there were definitely a lot of silver linings in that experience. Institutions like the Arab American National Museum were created. However, right now, there is a huge challenge. We're living in what I feel like is a more xenophobic time. There is this rise of what we're calling Islamophobia. And, you know, the political rhetoric, so much is happening right now. So it's a lot more challenging. And then, of course, what we're seeing overseas, there's a lot of conflict, a lot of strife, a lot of displacement. So
it's a lot of bloodshed.
So these are incredibly challenging times for the Arab American community, and they're really feeling the impact. So I think our work right now is even more critical than it's ever been. And we're really doing our best to be responsive to our community through exhibitions and public programs. So, for example, right now we have an exhibition called What We Carried that is looking at the experiences of Iraqi and Syrian refugees across the nation. It's not just in Metro Detroit. This is a photographic exhibit. And our hope is that through presenting this work, people will see a more humanizing aspect, or make this more humanizing aspect of our community's experience.
And I've got to imagine every time there's some headline from overseas, and like we've just had a spate of awful stories, Nice. And how do you personally think, all right, we've got to turn down the fear. We've got to turn down that xenophobia. What can I do?
Well, what we continuously try to do is just tell an accurate depiction of our community. And it's very easy for greater stereotypes and misconceptions to kind of come out of these incidents. So for us, it's really just about continuing to really drill down on who we are, what we are, and to reclaim our story and to make sure our story is being told from our perspective. That's why our museum is so critical.
Own your story.
Yes.
Where do you want to see the Arab American National Museum go in its next decade?
Well, there's a lot of transformation taking place in Southeast Michigan and Metro Detroit. And as a cultural institution, we see a role in that evolution. So we're looking at a regional transit plan that's taking place in Southeast Michigan. What is our role in helping our community and being part of that development? So we're looking at placemaking, we're looking at the changes in Southeast Michigan, and we're asking ourselves, how do we play a role in that as a cultural institution? And for us, it's really about putting the Arab American story in context with the greater American narrative. And that's why it's so critical for us to travel our exhibitions, to place our public programs and other major institutions where a predominantly non-Arab audience will have an opportunity to interact and see that. So it's really just continuing to expand our national footprint.
The Arab American National Museum is right there on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn in Wayne County, and you can learn more by going to arabamericanmuseum.org. Devin Ackman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on.